And I hear it all the time. I've been thinking about getting in real estate. How many times have you heard that? You know, and it's like, do it, get into it, make a mistake, do something wrong, right? And I listened to one of your episodes, the multiverse single family. And it's like, even for those people, just do it. Get single family is a great place to make a mistake because it's easy to overcome.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk-takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com. Today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Brett Riggins. Now, Brett is a 20-year veteran of the real estate business whose passion is helping people connect with the life they really, really want. Now, he's the founder of Connect Home Builders and Physician Wealth Systems, and he has shepherded more than $20 million in transactions over the past 10 years. He has a degree in construction engineering and a formative journey through blood, sweat, and tears and grind. He's built his investments and his expertise, and he's helped hundreds of people find the deals they need. Now, he's based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, where he lives with his wife and two kids. And Brett connects people with the tools they need to create the life that they really, really want. I'm pumped and excited to have him on the show today to share his incredible experience with us. But enough of me. Let's get him out of here. G'day, Brett. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, mate?
Man, I'm so excited, Reid. Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to see where this conversation goes.
I am too, my friend. We were just talking a little bit in the green room. You're in a part of town, a part of the world that we're actively hunting for deals in. It's Charlotte, North Carolina. We're in Greenville, South Carolina. A couple of deals down there. We love that part of the world. It's hard to find deals right now, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But can you ask all my guests this question, if I can speak today? It's a Friday. Can you rewind the clock and tell me how you most made your first ever dollar as a kid?
Yeah. And on top of that, it's a good Friday. Yes. One of the best Fridays here.
Yes.
Hey, the first dollar, you know, you just asked me that. And I'm kind of think, man, I love having conversations of what money means to you. And those typically will lay out kind of like these blockages, these mind blocks that we have to overcome that and to create this freedom. And looking back, I don't guess I've ever thought about it, but the first time creating or that opportunity money was just literally collecting change from others. As I think it was like fifth grade or something, remembering back, it's like, wow, we did that. What did we do that for? Just collecting loose change. And at that time, change actually meant something. But I think that was the first time of actually like generating money. But from there, it was to jobs. Like it was straight trading time for money. And that's my family background. That's all my family has ever done or ever known is trading time for money.
So you didn't grow up with any entrepreneurs in your family?
Not at all. Not one bit. Yeah.
So tell us the journey then. Like you, I mentioned you have a degree in construction engineering. I'm a civil engineer. So we've got that in common. But what was the corporate life of Brett before diving into the real estate world?
I have a crazy journey. I think my whole path has been slowed. And I don't know why yet, but just it's taken time. And the more and more I read, you know, start slow, stay consistent, all this thing. And I look back over my life, that's exactly what it is. And for the listeners who can't see this little thing hanging over my shoulder, that slowed me down a lot. It's a guitar hanging back there. So I played some music that really slowed me down. But I knew right from the get-go, I wanted to do something with art. I love design. I love drawing. That quickly led me into architecture. So I had set that path early on. My parents had built when I was a child, you know, right around seven, and they actually ended up losing that house on a short sale. So that was a whole new twist. We're talking about money. And then now being direct to sellers, I kind of have that empathy piece kind of in path because I've witnessed all of that. But coming out of school, Reid, man, my first job after college was with a design build firm, a small, closely held family business that allowed me to get those first glimpses of management and what that meant to be on a management team. And one of the first books they showed me, Reid, was a book called Traction by Gino Wickman, Life-changing. Oh, there it is, right behind you. Yep, I
No,
saw it. Yep.
where is it?
It's right behind you. I saw
Yeah,
it.
there is it. Yes.
Black and orange.
There it is.
Beautiful. So how cool is that? I mean, what kind of coincidence would that be, you know? So I started off swinging a hammer, and so here I am. I've got this college degree thing, and I knew I wanted to get into design. I applied to architectural firms, but this was one of the three design build firms that I applied with, and they've hired me swinging a hammer. At that time, it was $13 an hour swinging a hammer. It was an opportunity for me, Reed. I jumped all over that. I was only in the field for 3 months. I moved in quickly, started doing design, estimating, and into sales. And I think within the first 3 years, I was profit partner with that business.
That's awesome. But I would also don't want to skip over the muso in you, the artist. It clearly is something that drives you. All right, I can see it in you right now. My mum is an artist, or was an artist, but in the painting world. And so when I meet these types of humans like yourself, you can just instantly tell, like, I don't have an artistic bone in my body. I didn't get anything from my mum, but I've got two left feet and two left hands. But it's, I can see someone who, in resonating in people. And I actually just had my wife on the podcast, and she's an interior designer. We were actually talking in depth about, in the commercial real estate world, how design is such the last thing, particularly in like value add multifamily. So many people don't understand the real value and how cheap it is. They think it's a ticket item, but it actually creates, a legacy of to make a building look cool for the next 10 years. And it's so cheap on the front end in the total scheme of the total project that investing quality time and quality people in that is so paramount to the success of a business. I can't say, if I change a leasing center, it turns into, a 20% profit, but I know subconsciously my tenant's going to walk in there and be like, I want to lease from this place. And it all goes back to design and art and having clearly thought-provoking spaces and planning them out really, really well. And I think that's, kind of what I'm assuming that's what you've kind of dove into.
Feelings. I mean, it comes down to feelings and being able to emote. That's huge. And what you're speaking of in design is making, creating that opportunity to have a feeling. And in music, it's very similar. Like if I can, within, it gives me goosebumps to even think about it. So you definitely got me on those. If I can play a melody or just strike a chord and then instantly take you somewhere, Reed, that's like being able to emote. So if I played a certain song, or as soon as you heard the hook or the melody, it's going to take you back to that first time that you heard that song, and then here comes that feeling, right? So in the design piece is very interesting. If I can create that feeling in you as soon as you walk into a place and be like, wow, this feels amazing. If I can sell you at the kitchen table or at the island in the kitchen, then I've got you. And I think I remember I saw one of your podcasts was increasing the ROI with interior design.
That's
So
it.
I don't
That
know
was
if
my
that was,
wife. That's my wife.
very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So absolutely. It's able to connect with that. And I think maybe one of the gifts that I do have, I'll probably like a lot of people, I'm trying to figure out what is my gift? What have I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I have an ability to connect with people. And I think it's that musician piece. Just I'm emotional, right? I'm able to feel like what you're feeling, and in our conversation, it's transparent in my face and in my eyes. So.
Yeah, no, that's it. Look, it's great to have that background, and you're right. It's an ability. You just mentioned, what's your superpower? And sometimes no one knows, and you continue to grow those superpowers over time, and it's probably always been there, and never. I know we're going to get into the business side of it now, and I'm sure, as you said before, the slow and steady wins the race, and the guitar was taking a lot of time away from that. But it's also understanding that's your roots. So how do you layer it in with the business at the same time? And how do you bring that personal connection to investments or creating wealth for people? It all is, at the end of the day, I hate the word sales, but it is a salesman-esque like that. But the way which you connect with other people, using your love for guitar or using your love for interior design or using something that is human, will resonate with the person on the other side of the kitchen table. And you can do great business together. You can do great things together. So with that being said, talk us about the journey into what you've built today, because going from a muso, artistic guy, it's not just I'm going to jump into creating businesses for physicians.
You're right. That's it. Yeah, how did that happen? Absolutely. Great question. Well, all coming from construction and design, and from the day one, I've always wanted to have hands-on and never be that engineer. Being a civil, you probably have heard it before. Engineers know everything. They put it on paper. They think that that's the answer, right? Well, in the field, it's different. So I always wanted to close this gap and never wanted to be the one that knew everything. And that path led me to hands-on everything. So I've done everything from plumbing under the concrete to the concrete. Oh, have mercy, the concrete. That's a whole other story. And then framing, everything, electrical, plumbing, shingles. So I've got a little bit of everything, and it gives me the respect for the trades going through this, but also the ability to say, hey, this does work. Hey, I know this will work because I've actually done it before, right? I've not just drawn this picture. But that led me into having my first property. And it was, I did everything wrong. Reading that first property was, I had nobody around me that was investing in real estate. I had no idea what the market was. I had no idea how to screen tenants. I had no idea about anything. I made every wrong mistake, but the best mistake I ever did was I made the mistake because I learned from that. I learned how partnerships fail. I learned how to hold tight when things get heavy. I learned how to deal with an escrow analysis and not being able to make the mortgage payment, but keeping it, maintaining it all the way through. When plan A fails, go with plan B. So I learned all of that by making that first mistake. And wow, property management. And just there was so much of that in my first deal. My second deal would have been much different. I had invested in myself at that point. I had experience renovating properties, and I had the right people around me to then start scaling from that point forward. That's where Connect Home Buyers came in, and we quickly scaled that into a nationwide real estate acquisition company. I know a lot of my colleagues do much more than I did, but at that time, you know, we had 13 employees. We were doing 6 flips at a time. It was chaos. It was so much money. There was so much money coming in, but so much money going out. And what I love, my father-in-law always says, hey, you know, making money is the easy part. Keeping it is the hard part. And that's a hard lesson to learn through the journey. But alongside that journey came the opportunity of working with private money lenders. And if there are other flippers or investors in the audience today, know that private money lending is the fuel for an engine when you don't have the money. It creates these opportunities for you to work and partner with people to pay an interest rate, right? And allow you to keep moving this product along. A lot of those private money lenders were physicians, were high income earners. And I always heard, hey, how can we get deals like this? Just like you're saying, deals are hard to get, right? That's our engine. We create the opportunities. And at the time, I can't give you these deals. This was my bread and butter. This is how I'm feeding my family. Well, about 2 years ago, things started shifting when the cost of money actually doubled, right? In 12 months, it was very interesting to watch. And you can see these trends in residential and commercial, in, you know, flippers and wholesalers. You can watch these things just go in trends. It's very interesting. But at that moment, I made up my idea or my mind to say, I can actually plug people into our acquisition machine. I know I've got my own rental portfolios. I know exactly what we're looking for. I know investment objectives, right? I can plug these guys right into our acquisition machine and create these turnkey businesses for them. That's where this Physician Wealth Systems came from. And that stemmed a podcast. I love podcasts. I love having conversations like this called The Real Estate Mogul MD. So, and that's where we're at today. Living life by design, where it ain't always sunshine and rainbows, you know, but we're doing our best. I'm doing my best to be the best husband I can be, the best father I can be, and give back. That's one of the things I'm super passionate about, being able to share our experience and share the knowledge we do have and be transparent, Reed. There's the thing that I can't stand more than anything is when somebody thinks they know something and the havoc that that would reap on somebody else's life because they don't actually know. But I'm going to be transparent in what I do know, just share my experiences with other people.
I love it. I love it. I want to touch on something you just mentioned, trends and what you watch out for. You mentioned the change in the environment, the lending environment, the, you know, it's affecting everyone. Interest rates went from sub 1%, close to zero, to nearly 5.5% on the Fed's funds rate, which is, you know, you're probably borrowing at 8 or 9%. What trends did you see coming down the pike? And at what time in that, over the last 2, 3, 4 years, did you see that starting to occur?
Yeah. So Jim Rohn, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jim Rohn.
Yes, awesome. I have.
Dude. I think that Jim Rohn should be a class in high school. Seriously, there's so much value in what that man talks about. But he says success leaves clues. And when these trends were happening, you know, it's not something I picked out and be like, whoa, 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 that. But it's almost like they were these daggers, these knives going into us. Everything is great. Everybody can be an entrepreneur when things are, you know, budding and blossoming and, you know, inflation and, you know, the price, I'm not, sorry, not inflation, but appreciation, all these things are happening. It's great. Everybody can do it, right? But as soon as that thing starts topping out, things start changing. And like I say, you can't see it right away, but when it starts coming down, success leaves clues. I'm saying that I'm looking at the big boys. When I'm seeing the big boys make changes and swings, that's what starts happening. But in this situation, Reed, I actually started getting stuck like with knives from the big boys. And when we were wholesaling properties, we were working with hedge funds. And right before that, when that cost of money was really low, their scenarios of why, how they could buy were pretty loose, right? They were causing a lot of this appreciation stuff because the interest rates were so low. But when things started changing, they were the first ones to back off. And that's when we started. I mean, it's great if you've ever wholesaled a property, if the listeners have ever wholesaled, to take an assignment fee. And the first time that I took a $10,000 assignment fee, I was like, wow, this is awesome. The $20,000 assignment fee. I can turn a piece of paper into $20,000. I love this. I want to do this. I stopped flipping 2x4s. I started flipping paper at that point, right? How can give me more of this? Now, it's not all easy. You don't just show up and get a deal and all of a sudden can assign it. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into that. But the idea of it's really cool. The problem of in this situation was I had a $100,000 assignment contract that I lost because it was to a hedge fund. It was a big place. It was here in Charlotte and we lost it. So they, it's a $10,000, you know, due diligence that they paid for it. It was nothing, you know, at that point. And there were several contracts that I lost like that. So that was the front edge of the spear to start saying, okay, something's changing. These big boys are backing off. What is going on? That was right at the swing of the cost of money changing.
Now, when you say the swing and you lost those contracts, it was because you had agreed to sell that contract to that hedge fund and they said, sorry, 100%. Brett, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, keep our 10 grand, we're out.
It's really? Like, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. So at that point, and if you're running a business, you know, if, okay, this is, I'm not counting my eggs before they hatch, but if I'm sitting on six-figure contracts and $50,000 assignments, and all of a sudden they disappear, you know, that's tough. That's really tough. It's really hard. And it wasn't just one or two. It wasn't sporadic. It was across the board. And that trend now from the wholesaler piece is very interesting. So everything's cyclical, and you can see residential and commercial kind of, you know, they'll do this, and then, you know, residential will be swing and slide first, and then commercial will swing and slide behind it kind of deal. Same way with wholesalers inside of the residential world. You know, you'll watch them kick off the ones that don't have the business savvy or don't have the experience, you know, and that's what we're seeing that at that time when the hedge funds started kicking out, a lot of wholesalers started boom losing. And that's when the real investors also started tightening up. They didn't have to compare or you know, try to catch up with these hedge funds anymore. So they were holding tight on their money, sitting tight. And it's really the wholesalers, I think, were the first ones to go on the residential side.
Right. Have you seen it come back at all?
Yeah. Yeah. I think right now, you know, it's always interesting being more on the flip to hold world instead of, you know, flip to sell. We're in the flip to hold world. The cost of money is something that's a crucial part of our investment equation, our acquisition equation. So we're always watching that. I'm always building new relationships. Interesting, right now we're building relationships with like credit unions, do 5/1 ARMs. to hold the properties for 6 months and then turn them into the DSCRs to minimize the so we get a little bit of seasoning in there, and then we minimize the rates on that turn as well. So a cool thing that we're doing now. But as far as it coming back, yeah, you've seen probably the Fed kind of stabilizing, and you know the I don't look at a lot of social media or a lot of news or anything like that, but just the kind of drama that goes around. Are they raising? They're going to raise, and I got to raise all this kind of stuff. And then that sat still here. What was it, just this week? So that's good. And on top of that, we're starting to see more deals coming in from wholesalers as well too. So we're starting to see that pick up a little bit. And this is just a feeling of mine, but you know, we're kind of like riding that top part, or the bottom part, wherever we were, the bottom part of that kind of trend down area. But
Yep.
it's all, Reed, it's all here in the States. It's all going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen November? That's going to be a huge push on whether, you know, whether or not things continue one direction or head another. That's something big that's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, look, I tend to, I've been through enough. I've been here for over 12 years, gone through a couple of election cycles. You know, by and large, it's all perception, right? You know, people's perception of anything, right? And we can talk ourselves into a recession. We can talk ourselves out of a recession, right? And
100%.
it's like this weird human nature. And because whoever's in the seat is only there for 4 years, it's not like it's, you know, just think we have been in a slowdown since really 2022. And in the multifamily space, I think we've been in a recession for longer than, you know, 12 months already, right? Like that could have been, anyone could have been sitting in that chair, you know, regardless of what political, and I'm not getting political, but there's what I have learned in the last 2 years is that we, as the investors, as business owners, are not bigger than the US economy. When it shifts, and it will, we will get crushed with it or not crushed. And I don't care how good your business is, particularly in the multi, because I come from the multifamily world, we've had a euphoric run in the last 10 years, and we have seen a drastic change in pricing. And that's directly in correlation to fighting inflation and directly in correlation to the rise in interest rates. It was meant to break something, and it has broken. And whether we're talking about it on the national news about commercial real estate, office and multi are in a big, big problem right now, and we're seeing blood in the street. They're just not talking about it because it's not the American dream. It's not the average American home. And I could rant a lot about this for a long period of time. But what I'm trying to get at is that, yes, politically, it has a perception, but underlying it all is how big this behemoth of the US economy is, right? And whether you're paying attention to certain things, and I pay attention to whether my tenants can pay rent on time. And when they start stopping paying rent, and it's been a problem for multiple quarters, I'm like, there's something going on, right? You can't tell me the jobs are just booming. It's like, I don't think the jobs are booming because old mate can't pay his bloody rent. But I do agree with you that I believe we're at the bottom, or somewhere close to the bottom, and you can't time it 100%, but I think it's a really great opportunity to be buying right now. So if you're out there looking for properties in any spectrum of the world, resi all the way through to commercial, today is great because I think there's a lot less competition. However, you know, word to the wise, when we have one rate cut, and I don't care if we have four or six or three or 10, as soon as we get to one, a ton more people are going to jump back in the pool, and it's going to be even harder. Right. So make money while you can today. And it's going to happen in the next 6 to 12 months. We'll have some rate cuts. It just has to happen. Right. You know, I'm not going to get into whether the Fed can afford its own debts, but it just will have to happen. Right. And you're seeing other central banks across the world already cutting. We will follow suit. But back to your point, I do agree that we're at sort of an inflection point here, but we have been in the trough or a declining market for a long, like for at least 12 months or longer.
Yeah,
And
it's been a ride.
it's been a ride, right? And talking about to people like yourself, I'm talking to brokers as well. I'm hearing stuff about the big boys starting to get back in the pool. Like I heard a broker the other day. I was out in Phoenix on Tuesday meeting with a broker, and they're like, you know, this whole sentiment, We won't touch 70s product. We won't touch 80s product. We just want 90s and newer, 90s and newer, 90s and newer. Now I heard one of the big brokers at JLL is like, yeah, I've heard some big groups now saying we're going to look back at the workforce housing stuff. And you're like, okay, okay, something's good. You know,
yeah.
Whether we get back to the euphoric highs we had, it would probably take some time, but people are starting to, particularly this year, rub the eyes off, start to like, I've got to deploy capital. Yeah. And the reason you listen to these podcasts for everyone out there is to try and get that data sooner than what it comes out in the headlines. Because once it's in the headlines, it's too late.
Yeah.
So yeah. Any comments on that?
Yeah, perspective. Perspective is so huge. I've got something written on my board here. Perspective is the obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
In this way of, yes, the economy drives so much of what we're doing, but you and I know that no matter what that economy is doing, there's always opportunity. So we can't maintain that perspective of he said, she said, in the whole political game, just knowing, sitting back and watching and being present in the moment. You probably will never hear me say, well, I'm waiting until this, or I'm waiting until that. I'm always making moves, right or wrong. I'm always making moves and I'm always watching what other people are doing, but I'm not going to let that direct me and my decisions based off of the gang kind of mentality of that. And I hear it all the time. What I love the most is like, I've been thinking about getting in real estate. How many times have you heard that? You know, and it's like, do it, get into it, make a mistake, do something wrong, right? Depending on where you, and I listened to one of your episodes, the multiverse single family. And it's like, even for those people, just do it. Get the single family is a great place to make a mistake because it's easy to overcome, you know, get over it. It's always the best time to buy real estate is 20 years ago and today. And if you look back 20 years from now, you look back today and be like, man, I wish I would have done something. I wish I would have listened to Reed more often, you know. I absolutely love perspective is huge. There's always opportunity. And just keeping focused and keeping the right people around you is really important.
100%. And look, even in, we've had tough times and I've talked to my business partner about it. Like, we're not sitting in the corner sucking our thumb. We're doing other things. We launched a debt fund, you know, other ways of, you're talking about private money lending. We wanted to offer that to our investors. Interesting how that was received, right? You know, with the cost of, you know, the treasuries, you know, you put money in a CD and get a 5% coupon.
Yeah.
You know, like, so there's just different things that we are doing on the business side as well, that you've got to keep being that surfer on the wave as an entrepreneur. Like, as things change, you got to, you know, zigzag up, down and all that sort of stuff. And that's okay to pivot. And I think that's okay to evolve as an entrepreneur, and that's what we're put on this, you know, that's what we do, right? We manage people's money. So with that being said, what are you planning in the next sort of 12 months with your business, and how's it, you know, we come through a bit of a slowdown. You mentioned it was a bit of a slowdown. You mentioned things are starting to pick back up, but what's the next 12 months look like for you and your business?
Yeah, great question. One thing is I just want to get better every single day. I want to compare myself to who I was yesterday, and I want to get better every single day. I'm not comparing myself to somebody with 4,000 units or two brokers or whatever. I want to see who was Brett yesterday. Is Brett better today? That's number one moving forward. And in that regard, it comes down to systems, processes, people, everything that we touch. I want it to get better every single time we do it. So not necessarily McDonaldizing the single family acquisition world and the single family passive income business building world, but close to that, right? In the next 12 months, I want to just be clockwork. I want to hear the pain points of where are we at? Where is it tough point in financing? Where in this point are you upset? I want to hear that working with our community members, because next time I want to make it better. That I want to continue to build the foundation, that single family foundation, and then launch into scalable solutions with our community into the multi world. It's a great point. And if I know I can build a 12 unit portfolio with you, Reed, in 12 months, we've built a good relationship. And from that relationship, I know that we can move into acquisitions, general partnering into the multifamily world and picking up some deals here in South Carolina. I would love to do that.
That's awesome. That's awesome, mate. Well, look, at the end of every show, we'd love to dive into the top five investing tips. You ready to get into it?
Yeah, rock and roll.
Mate, question number one is, what's the daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
Gratitude.
Yeah, nice. Do you have a journal or what do you?
I definitely have journals. I think the one tip that I've I think it helps most is as soon as I come to in the morning, whether my eyes are still closed or not, or open, just finding things to be grateful for. And be careful of what you're comparing yourself to, you know. And like I said earlier, just compare yourself to yourself, who you were yesterday, and being grateful because you've been blessed with everything you've needed, everything you need, and everything you will need. Everything's right in front of us. Be grateful.
Love it. I love it. No, it's the ability to turn the mind off, to not be like, oh, what have I got to do today? I suffer from the same thing, and readjusting the mind to being like feeding it your thoughts, feeding you ideas of being of gratitude. You can't be in a panic mode and gratitude mode at the same time. So I love that. Question number two is, who's the most influential person in your career?
Boy, I would probably say my father-in-law. He was in the grocery business, and I say he made millions off of pennies. The margin on that business is tight, so it was definitely different. I had to step away, but it was a great first touch into having somebody around me who has gone through the reins, you know, the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur, what to do, what not to do. So I've always leaned on him. And one of the things that, as I watched, we all fill out our personal financial statements, right? And as a musician, you can imagine back in the day, it wasn't very heavy on the profit side, right? But as I watched my net worth increase, it was something I was proud of, you know, and I was watching that because I needed that in order to get these loans. And I remember the day he told me, you know, I was really happy with where I was at. He's like, buy me something with that. And it was like a shock to me. And it's a real, because I can't. Money on paper is nothing, right? Money on paper doesn't mean anything. So it's just these little one-liners, these little zingers that have really shaped me going through time. And now, you know, being the business person that I am today.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Question number three, I should say, is what is the most influential tool in your business? The influential tool might be a journal, a physical tool, or a phone, or it could be a piece of software that you just can't run the business without. What is it?
Absolutely. Airtable.
Airtable. I've heard that you're the second person to say Airtable.
Man, come on with it. You know what? And when this happened, I lost one of my best acquisition managers to a hedge fund. And I'm like, well, I take the time, I nurture this guy, I train him, and then this guy comes, boom, you know, and pays him, you know, six-figure salaries and bonuses, all this stuff. And I couldn't come up with it. But the great piece of that is I had a friend then who went to a hedge fund and learned the processes, learned the systems. And I was able to communicate with him and learn a little bit about, hey, what are we doing differently? And from day one, Airtable popped up. And man, I feel like I waited too long, but we aggregate data from the MLS and we pull that into Airtable, and we've got integrations, automations, all kinds of stuff set up. So now it's like a user-friendly design platform, right? You can write spreadsheet code and not actual programming code to make this stuff happen, setting up filters. It's like Google Sheets on steroids. Gotcha. I absolutely love it.
Gotcha.
Love it. Okay. Absolutely.
I'll have to check it out. Question number four. In one sentence, what has been the biggest failure and what did you learn from that failure?
I do not like selling real estate, and particularly in a fashion where I feel like I have to because it didn't work out. And I'm selling a commercial property right now, and it's hard for me. I know it's the right decision. It's hard for me, but I wasn't lined up to make the right decisions at the right time with it. And I think the biggest takeaway is I did a development project was similar too. So it was like, I didn't have the time necessary to focus on this. When you're making these kind of investments, they're not just a passive thing. I can't just depend on other people to do these things for me. I have to be able to focus on this unless I've got the team built out, because really every commercial building is a whole company of itself and you need the team to handle that. The development was the same way. It was me working on it and I needed a whole team, like, right? I still had architects. I still had all of this happening, but I just didn't have the right team of people around me to take advantage of the opportunity and in turn end up selling it.
Last question, my friend, is where can people reach you to continue the conversation that will be in your sphere? Where do they go?
Physicianwealthsystems.com. Physicianwealthsystems.com. It's all spelled out. It's just a great spot. And I, you know, I actually wrote a book last year too. It was very cool. And I talk about the book is called How to Get Rich as a Doctor. But I always tell everybody, it this doesn't you don't have to be a doctor to do this, right? We didn't invent this stuff on real estate. You don't have to be a certain way to believe certain things to take advantage of what we've been blessed with, the beautiful asset class of real estate. That book, this website, is just a great resource. I'm sharing with other people. There's a resource tab on there. There's different podcasts, different websites. There's just a great spot to be. So the physicianwellsystems.com is a great spot. Anywhere on social media, you can just search Brett Riggins. I think there's not too many of us. It's Have you ever searched your own name on Google? I mean, how
mine's very
many?
mine's very unique. So there's not
It is,
too many
right?
Reed Goosens.
I thought mine was too. There are the Brett Riggins out there, but no, it's easy to find me. If you can't find me, then I've got a few people to talk to in my marketing department
Yeah, exactly.
then,
Well,
right?
awesome, my friend. I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of the day. I just want to reflect some of the things that I took away from today's show. I think your whole background in music, being a musician and leaning into that and letting that be the fire within you to create relationships between people, to then identifying issues to go solve and then going creating a business around that. I think that is your key superpower as an outsider looking in. And some of the things you mentioned so many good things in there, talking about giving back, talking about running your own race, right? Not comparing yourself. And just with the little tidbits you said there, I can tell that you're a really you're a self-reflecting type of guy, right? You have like we all do, you get addicted, we all get addicted to comparing ourselves to other people, and then the brain turns on and be like, why aren't you doing X,
Human
Y,
nature.
Z? And then you need to be like, no, I need to be grateful about when I wake up in the morning. So those little things resonate with me so much because, I'm also an entrepreneur. I'm also just I'm a flawed human. And I think that applying that and taking that understanding into a business is so critical. And helps be able to create businesses for the long term, and helps be able to create relationships with your clients who just want to do business with you. I think it's so important. So, mate, did I leave anything out of that little summary?
No, that's great. That's awesome to hear back. I love the summary of like that power, that special thing, and being able to connect. I think that's really cool. I appreciate that, Reed.
No, my pleasure. Look, again, enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you so much for jumping on this show. We'll catch you very, very soon.
Thanks, Reed.
Well, there you have another cracking episode, jam-packed with some incredible stuff from Brett. If you do want to check out anything that he's got going on, remember to head over to physicianwealthsystems.com. You can also search Brett Riggins on all the social media platforms and follow him there. I want to thank you all for taking some time out of your day to tune in to continue to grow your financial IQ. It's what we're all about on this show. All the show notes from today's show notes will be up on my website at reedgoosens.com. The easiest way to give back to this show is just one, share it with your friends. Two, give it a 5-star review on iTunes. And we're going to do this all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.